In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. As we continue down this path of, oh Lord, fake news, that's not in the Bible. Like I said, last week was forgive and forget. This week, God helps those who help themselves. God bless my great-grandmother's heart. She used to use that as the excuse to go clean up or do your homework. God helps those who help themselves. Go do your own work. It's the same woman who used to snap and point at the China Hutch when she wanted the chocolate coconut macaroons and didn't want Uncle Paul to know where they were. She was a grand old lady. Anyway, it, like so many other key phrases that have been used time and time again, is not 100% accurate in the way we use it, and it may in fact not be exactly what we read in the Bible or how we use it. It's not as it should be. Now, that is not to say that God helps them who help themselves is not somewhat kind of almost true. For example, when you pray that you're going to pass a class or get a certain job or get a new car or get a raise or get that someone special to fall in love with you or whatever the case may be, the deepest desires of your heart, it is not usually enough just to pray to God and hope that God will do the rest. God doesn't work that way. And so it is true that God helps those who help themselves. So we not only have to pray, but we also have to do a little work. For example, if you want to pass a theology class, you have to actually open the book. I had a seminary classmate who did not believe this was true. Clearly, he didn't make it. You don't sit there at the empty dinner table and pray for dinner to appear and goes, poof, there it is. It doesn't work that way. You have to work a little bit. If you don't grow it yourself or hunt it yourself, well, then you have to work a little bit or have some kind of resources to buy the food that goes on your table. This is where we get kind of fishy with Paul's letter to the second letter to the Thessalonians. Because if you take it just as it is, as you read it, and it says, even when we were with you, that was Paul and his cohorts, even when we were with you giving you this commandment, if anyone doesn't want to work, they shouldn't eat. We hear that some of you are living an undisciplined life. They are not working, but they are meddling in other people's business. By the Lord Jesus Christ, we command and encourage such people to work quietly and put their own food on the table. Now, some might take that to be the explanation for why we should not help others and why it really truly is that God helps those who help themselves. But there's our problem in when you take the scripture out of context. What you have to understand about that passage is that what happened beforehand. Paul went to the Thessalonians, and he started the church there. And he told them, hey, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is going to come back. His kingdom will have no end. And when he comes back, all of this wonderful things are going to happen, and you should trust that his return is imminent. Well, the Thessalonians thought imminent meant tomorrow. Maybe next week. So they quit their jobs. They all quit their jobs. They started living frivolously and spending wantonly and not taking a care and said, well, it's okay because Jesus is coming back and I don't have to work and I don't have to do all of this and I don't have to. And God will provide everything I need and I can sit here and do absolutely nothing because Jesus is coming. This is where the bumper sticker comes in handy. Jesus is coming. Look busy comes in. Because the ones in Thessalonica were not being busy. They were not doing what they needed to do. And so Paul in his second letter, this passage comes out of that, Paul in his second letter is saying, no, friends, you still have to do the work. You still have to do what you've been called to do. You can't just quit and you can't just give up because Jesus is coming, because yes, he's coming eventually, but you don't know the hour. You don't know when he'll be here. Pray and work. And so, yes, it is true that God helps those who help themselves, because he gives us the power to do the work we need to do what we need to have done. We trust that our faith is meant. We have a faith that is based on moving us to action. Moving us to action. God doesn't call us to be stagnant and just sit still and wait for him to come back and do it for us. Scripture reveals time and time and time again that God uses people as his hands and feet and his instruments. So you have to be willing to do the work that God has put you here to do, instead of just using God helps those who help themselves as the cop-out for why we shouldn't be helping people. Because we have to remember, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's where we get to the untrue part of this, and how it's not 100% as we've always thought it is. God helps those who help themselves so many times is used as that phrase to get us out of doing our Christian duty of taking care of those around us who are less fortunate. It's where we get into sometimes people have that mentality of they have to pick themselves up by their own bootstraps. Except for there are those who are so deep in the hole that they can't possibly climb out. There are people, and sometimes it's ourselves, we get into that hole that is so deep, there is no way on this earth we're going to get out of it by ourselves. I like to binge watch shows on Netflix. It is a vice of mine, I will freely admit it, and I prefer the shows that have completed, that are no longer on TV, so I can sit and start at season one, episode one, and end wherever it ends and just be done with it and have some sense of closure. One of my favorite ones to do that with is The West Wing. I like Martin Sheen. He's kind of cool. Anyway, in one of those episodes, Josh is telling a story that Leo had told, and it's about when it goes like this. So this guy's walking down a street, and he falls into a hole. The walls are so steep that he cannot get out. So a doctor passes by and says, hey, you need help? Hey. And the guy in the hole says, hey, you, can you help me out up there? And so the doctor writes out a prescription and throws it in the hole. A little while later, a minister walks by and the guy says, hey, preacher, can you help me out of this hole? Preacher pulls out his pad and writes down a prayer and throws it in the hole. And then finally, one of the guy's friends comes by the hole and he says, hey, buddy, pal, hey, can you help me out? And he says, yep, just a minute. And he jumps in the hole with him. And the first guy says, how stupid are you? Now we're both down here. And the friend says, yeah, but I've been down here before and I know the way out. There it is, my friends. Our calling and our responsibility to our neighbors in need is not just to stock the food pantry or donate clothes to the Seventh-day Adventist clothes closet, but instead to be that person that is there. That's where we get into our Leviticus reading, where we not only help feed people, but we also give them the dignity of being able to help themselves just a touch. Because you remember what it says. It says, when you harvest your land's produce, you must not harvest all the way to the edge of your field, and do not gather every remaining bit of your harvest. No, leave these items for the poor and the immigrant. I am the Lord your God. I don't remember much about Hebrew. It was the worst year of my life in seminary. But I do know that in the Old Testament, especially the first five books, when God followed something up with, I am the Lord your God, he meant it. It was one of those very serious kinds of points that God was making through Moses and whoever else was writing it down. It says, when that was in the Hebrew, I am the Lord your God, it was like, oh, hello, highlight point, highlight that sentence that came before that. It says, don't take every last bit for yourself, whether you're going to sell it or you're going to use it yourselves. Don't take every last bit. Leave a little bit in the field. Now, why is that important as opposed to harvesting it and giving it to somebody? Because it gives the lonely, the immigrant, the poor, the downtrodden, the stranger in the neighborhood, it gives them the dignity of work. And it gives them the opportunity to harvest it themselves and feel good about themselves and say, hey, I did this for myself. There are certain things that, I took Psych 121 because it was the one with the lab rats and Alma. It's the only psych class I took. But I remember Maslow's law about your basic needs. And there's the general basic ones, you know, food, shelter, clothing, all this good stuff. But even at that, there's a higher level of needs that need to be met, and that's the need for acceptance, the need to feel loved, the need to feel appreciated, the need to be able to hold on to hope and peace and joy and love. And all those words we pull out at Christmas time, those are inherent needs. Those are the things that line up in, with my sociology degree, they're the things that line up when Tim Thorson used to talk about CREEP. Kinship, religion, economics, education, and politics, the things that made up a society. Those are the things that fill in those gaps. Or like at Presbytery on Tuesday, when we were sitting through an hour-long equipping leadership thing about self-care and making sure you take care of yourself so you can take care of others, what she was talking about was filling that God-shaped hole. Sometimes those things, the acceptance and the love and the appreciation and the caring and the feeling like you belong, sometimes those are fulfilled by other people, but more often than not, they're fulfilled by our Creator himself. And so while it is true that God does help those who help themselves, the more real truth in this is that God helps those who cannot help themselves. The ones that are so far down in the pit of deep, deep despair or sin or financial burden or whatever it is, God sends us. God sends his people, his messengers, his servants, his faithful as the hands and feet to lift up those around us. It goes back to that commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And if we can't do that, then I don't know what we're doing here. So now we get to our gospel reading, which in and of itself always kind of gets a little, Jesus said it, but Jesus didn't actually say it. Jesus was telling a parable, but Jesus said it. Anyway. The words are still true. It says, you know, come and receive good things from my Father. Inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. Remember, it's like my confirmation cross has that verse from Isaiah. Before I knit you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I have called you by your name. It says, I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick and you took care of me. And I was in prison and you visited me. And those who are righteous, those who have been following along on the path of where God has called them to go, I said, but no, I didn't see you in prison. I've never seen you running around naked. I haven't seen you hungry or thirsty. Lord, when did I do these things to you? And the king says, I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me. That right there is the calling, friends. That's where, when you see somebody who needs that little boost, little love bump with your hip going, hey, you're all right. Don't do that too hard. You might knock somebody off balance. But when you see that person who's so deep down in the depths of despair, I love Dana Green Gables, the depths of despair. Be willing to jump in the hole with them and say, hey, we can figure this out together. And it's dangerous territory. And I know I'm saying that. That is dangerous territory. Why? Because when you jump down in the depths of despair, if you are not firmly holding onto the hand of Jesus Christ, oh, Lord, you might find yourself down there too. It goes with the news of this past week. Two celebrities committing suicide. Two celebrities hanging themselves. And I love well-intentioned people who share the suicide hotline phone number. But I also know full well that people who are necessarily down in that pit do not have a phone. You have to be aware, folks. You have to be open and have your eyes open and just take a small interest in the person sitting next to you or living next door or passing you on the street and say, hey, that guy looks like he's having a rough day. And if you're not comfortable being the person who walks up to them and saying, hey, how can I help? Be that invisible presence of God. And you either come talk to me or you go across the street and you talk to the guys in the sheriff's department and you say, hey, can you check on this person? Something's not right. Something didn't look right. Something's not quite clicking quite right. Sheriff Doug said it when he was here for our pantry meeting, and he said, when you see something, say something. And it's not just the negative things. It's not just people who are threatening our safety. It's people who are threatening their own. If you see somebody who's in desperate need of a hug or a friend or a prayer or a kind word or, God forbid, a bag of food or whatever the case may be, say something. And if you can't say it to the person who needs it, come say it to somebody who might be able to do something about it. Me, any one of the other ministers in town, like I said, any of the guys and gals across the street at the courthouse, any one of the elders on session, any member of any team. Yeah, God helps those who help themselves, but more than that, God helps those who cannot help themselves by sending us to them, by having us be present. And by teaching us, you need to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.